on Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. There are three of them mentioned there. Three weapons that were used to overcome the serpent, the old serpent, the dragon or the devil, that the believers used. And the first weapon is blood of the Lamb, which is very significant and very important. And I told you, what does the blood of the Lamb do in that context? And why, how can we defeat Satan by the blood of the Lamb? And I told you that the blood of the Lamb provides a spiritual insurance policy that covers us, gives us protection. Okay? And then, the second thing that the blood of the Lamb does is it sanctifies and purifies the holy and the unholy things. And the third, what it does is it negates the legal ownership by establishing a new purchase contract. So last Friday, if you remember, we were on the insurance policy that the blood of the Lamb gives us to protect us. And I told you that we need to abide by the terms of that insurance policy. And the three terms of that insurance policy is applying of the blood, that is to be in prayer, to be a praying priest. The second term of that insurance policy was eating bread with no leaven, eating unleavened bread. That means eating or receiving or meditating of the pure word of God and practicing the same. And the third thing I said is staying in the boundary of the blood. Okay, when these three terms of the policy of the blood is fulfilled, the blood will protect you. The blood does not automatically protect you. Are we understanding that? If a person is living in sin and drinking alcohol and going and fornicating, and we say, no, but God is merciful, I pray the blood protect him. The blood will not protect him, even if you pray, because the terms of contract is not fulfilled. So the blood is not automatically applicable to cover anyone. The blood only protected the people in Goshen who followed the Passover instructions. Okay? The blood only protected them. If any of those people had violated any of the terms, maybe they ate leavened bread. The Bible says if they ate leavened bread or had leaven in the house, let them be cut off from the people. That means they are taken out of the insurance policy. The policy will not cover them. Or if they did not apply the blood on the house, the blood will not work. Or if they went out of the house where the blood was applied, the blood will not work. Are we understanding? So the blood of the Lamb is not so casual as we sometimes use it. Oh, let the blood cover that person. You are praying for the blood to cover that person, but the blood is not going to work. Because a person, for the blood to work in a person's life, the blood of the Lamb to be a weapon in a person's life to cover them, they need to abide by the policies of the blood. And these people mentioned in the book of Revelation are the people who are overcoming Satan because they are praying priest in their house, because they are eating unleavened bread, pure word of God, abiding by the unleavened bread. And third one, because they are just in the boundary of the blood. They don't go outside of the boundary of blood. They don't trespass the will of God. They don't trespass the boundaries of the Lord. They are satisfied to be in the place where God has placed them. So that's why the blood of the Lamb has become a weapon in their hands with which they are overcoming Satan now, because the blood is providing for them coverage. The blood is protecting them. Are we understanding? If you are sick 7 days a week, you cannot stand, you cannot get up from your bed, you feel so weak, there is headache, there is fever, or there is whatnot, how can you serve God? How can you serve God? Why that is happening? Because there are loopholes in the insurance policy through which the arrows of Satan are penetrating through and attacking you. and hindering you to worship God, serve God, or do even the normal chores of life. So that's why every person needs the covering of the blood of the Lamb. And when you fulfill the terms of the policy, I am telling you, the blood will cover you. The blood will cover you. There thousands will fall by your side, 10,000 by this side, but it shall not even come near you. The blood will cover you. You will be protected from every kind of attacks. Even high degrees, witches and wizards, if they are performing sacrifices and taking your name and sending attacks against you, nothing will happen to you because there is the blood covering around you. There is the blood covering around you. Satan, Lucifer himself, if he tries to come against you to bring some attacks or to kill you or to whatsoever do to you, he will not be able to do anything because of the coverage around you. That is what Satan was telling God. God, Job, there is a hedge around him. That's why I cannot even come near to him. Cannot even come near to his territory because he was a praying priest offering sacrifices. And in the Old Testament, and the blood, if the blood of goats and bulls that were sacrificed can provide that kind of coverage, how much more the blood of Christ? Because the blood of Jesus speaks more better things than Abel. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the coverage of the blood. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So I covered the first function of the blood of the Lamb, which is protection from the attacks. That is the spiritual insurance policy that the blood provides that covers you. The second point, what the blood will do is, it will sanctify and purify. Sanctification of and purification of the holy and the unholy things. Sanctification and purification of the holy and the unholy things. Now 100% or 99% of the believers know that if they sin, they can ask the Lord, repent the Lord, ask forgiveness, and the blood will cleanse them. They know that fact. The blood can cleanse them of the acts of the sin of their flesh. That is the sanctification from the unholy things. But there is a deeper cleansing available by the blood of the Lamb. That is the sanctification of the holy things. What is that? First, let me come to the sanctification of the unholy things. It simply means the sanctification from the sins that you perform. The sins that you did knowingly or unknowingly, you have to go to the Lord. Repent of it. Repentance is turning away from what you have done totally. And ask the Lord to forgive you. Confess your sins, not unto the Catholic priest in the closet, but unto the Lord. If you confess it to a man, that is a tradition that is not even in the Bible. You have to confess your sins, Apostle Raul, Father, I want to confess my sins to you. Don't confess. Why you are confessing it to me? Confess it to the Lord. Go to the Lord because he has the power to, through the blood of his son Jesus, to cleanse you of the sin that you have done. Are we understanding? So the blood, you have to remember that even if you did something wrong because of which the devil got a foothold, you can negate that impact because you have a God who can forgive you. You have to go to the Lord. Are we understanding? If you sinned against the Lord, that's not the end of your Christian life. You can go to the Lord. Why did Jesus shed the blood? Because he knows that you are weak. That does not mean that you will take it for granted and every day you will sin. You know, I was speaking to a person and he said, throughout the day, he said to me, I do whatever I want, but in the night I pray because I know the blood of Christ cleanses me from all my sins. So I repent of whatever I do and then again I do what I want. So you cannot take the blood of Jesus for granted. The blood of Jesus is made available to you because God knows that you are weak or some or the other area because of your weakness, you will fall. So he has not forsaken you or abandoned you, but made the blood of his son available to you, through which you can have forgiveness for whatever you have done, forgiveness for your sins. Okay, let me come to that is the cleansing of the unholy things. Sin is unholy. Whatever is unholy is sin, and sin is unholy. And so the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from unholiness, from sins that you do. Let's go to the book of the epistle, or the book of 1 John. 1 John. And verse number, chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Let's start from verse number 6. Okay. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what does that mean? That means that we are constantly walking in a realm that exposes us. That exposes us. We are constant. We are not. We are saying we have fellowship with him, but if we walk in darkness, once I took the revelation of light and darkness, and I gave the simple definition of darkness. Darkness is a place where the place or the person does not give God permission to intervene in it. That is darkness. Simply. Okay? It's when we think about darkness, we think in our mind about a dark place where there is no lights and bulbs. No, it's not dark. Darkness is a place. It can be lighted up with the lights, but if the place or the person who owns the place has not given God permission to intervene in it, to get into it, to see the affairs of it, that place is dark. Are we understanding? So when you live a life where you hide some areas of your life, you don't reveal it to God. God sees it, God knows what you are doing, but you don't want to let God intervene in it by your will, by your prayer, that God, you know what, look at this weakness of my life where I am not able to get rid of addiction of alcohol. I want to confess that it's a sin, but I cannot stop it. When you pray that prayer, you are exposing yourself to the light. So walking in the light means that you are walking in a realm that is exposing you completely. That means there is no area of your life that is hidden from God. Every area of your life, God has permission to get into it and to do the operation or to uproot anything. God has the permission. You have given God the permission. You are not hiding it from God. Are we understanding that? So it says if we walk in darkness and say we have fellowship, we are lying to ourselves. We are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, okay? If we walk in the light, that means we are walking in a realm where God has complete permission to look into affairs of all our lives. That is walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Hallelujah. Amen. I am so glad and I am so joyful. Hallelujah. I am so joyful about what God is doing in this group. Because every person in this group, I know they are humble before God and they confess, oh, you know what? This is what the weakness in my life is. So you are walking in the light. When you open yourself to God and you say, you don't hide your weaknesses. You tell, these are my weaknesses. And that means you are walking in the light. The blood of Christ cleanses you from your sins when you do that. Okay? But when you are walking in darkness, you have hidden sins, but you show yourself a saint, a super spiritual man or a woman. That is hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. That's why the blood of Christ cannot cleanse a Pharisee. The blood of Christ cannot cleanse a Sadducee. Because they have hypocrisy. They walk in darkness, proclaiming that they are walking in light, but actually they walk in darkness. They are hidden. They have hidden because of pride. Because of self-ego, they have hidden so many areas from God. But they want to be proclaimed as people who are super spiritual. So the blood of Christ cannot cleanse them. But the blood of Christ can cleanse the tax collector who beats his chest, bows down and says, Lord, I am a sinner. Are we understanding walking in the light? If we say, verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that is the blood of Christ cleansing from the unholy. That is the unholy part. Okay? And most of us, we know it, but I'm teaching you that part, that if we sin in any area of our lives, we have to make sure that we cannot be perfected until we see him. The Bible says, when we see him, we shall become like him. And all those who have that hope will cleanse themselves every day and make themselves ready every day. What you have to make sure, what God expects from you is God expects you to walk in the light. To walk in the light. To walk in the light.
Yeah.
Okay? Every day you are walking in a realm where you are saying, God, I am exposed to you. Anything in me that is not pleasing to you, you have the permission to rebuke me. You have the permission to take the rod and chase me. You have the permission, Lord. That is a humble man. That is a man who lives before God. So even though you sin, but you, since you are walking in the light, God has given the blood of his son to cleanse you from all your sins. The person who walks in the light is the person who repents daily. Repents daily, not once, maybe multiple times, because he's walking in the light. And sometimes something he does, since he's walking in the light, the spirit of the light, that the Holy Spirit will tell you, oh, what you did not please me. Oh, forgive me, Lord, because you are walking in the light. The Holy Spirit has permission to talk to you about your sins. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Have you seen children like that? Who are submissive to their parents when they are children, when they are young, and they are humble before their parents, and the parents have the freedom. Anything goes wrong, anything they do wrong, they have the freedom. They can immediately with their hearts correct that, son, you did not do that right, because they know the son is submissive. But some children, the parents have to think 10 times before correcting them, because those children are kind of rebellious. Are we understanding? They live inside a room. They don't want, if the mom or the dad opens the room a little bit, why did you come in my room? Get out of it. That is darkness. So the dad or the mother or the father, they cannot correct that person, because they are not exposed, they are not submissive. That is how God wants, the God wants you to be completely submissive and open to him, that God, the Holy Spirit has the freedom, because the Holy Spirit is a sensitive personality. He will not speak to you, correct you, if you hide your life from him. He will only speak to you when you open the gates of your heart for him and always say, Holy Spirit, you have the permission, come in my life. So that kind of a man who walks in the light, a little bit he goes wrong, the Holy Spirit says, and he listens. That is walking in the light. And the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sins. That is the purification or the sanctification of the unholy things. Okay, the blood of the Lamb can deeply cleanse you when you know that you need cleansing of the holy things. This is the area which believers don't know. What is the cleansing of the holy things? Let me take you to some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And verse number 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. I know there is filthiness in my flesh, but there is filthiness in the spirit. What is the Bible saying? That is the cleansing that we require. Filthiness in the spirit. Okay, let me, I will explain that to you. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You are perfectly holy, not only when you are cleansed from your sinful works of the flesh, but when you are also cleansed of the filthiness of the spirit. There is filthiness in the spirit, in the human spirit that is now joined to the Holy Spirit. Filthiness can enter that spirit. Filthiness can enter that spirit man. And it is who makes it enter? It is our carnal mind that makes the filthiness enter the spirit. And Apostle Paul is talking now about a deep cleansing. Okay, let me, before taking you to more scriptures about the cleansing from the holy things, let me simply give you the definition of what is the sanctification or the cleansing of the holy things. Sanctification of the holy things by the blood is the cleansing of the evil intents or motives of man's heart. Okay? Sanctification of the holy things by the blood is the cleansing of the evil intents or motives of man's heart while performing holy activities. All right. Are we together until now? Okay, stay with me. Ezekiel. Okay, before we go to Ezekiel, let's go to Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus chapter number 28. Verse number 36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord, and it may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. So Aaron here represents Jesus Christ. I have come to this scripture, I think, some sermons earlier when I was teaching about the name of the Lord. Holiness to the Lord on the forehead of the Aaron signifies the name of the Lord by which we are called. The name of the Lord by which we are called is by the name holiness to the Lord. So we can say we are called by the name when we are having the holiness to the Lord. That means when we are consecrated unto the Lord. Any which way, it's not going into that. But it says that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Here Aaron signifies Jesus Christ, who bears the iniquity of the what? Holy things. What are the holy things? Of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead. Now that is the explanation that the Bible is giving us. What are the holy things from in which we need cleansing? It says the holy things are what? What the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. That means the spiritual gifts and sacrifices and services, activities that they are offering unto the Lord. Those are the holy things. Now let me give you an example of what the Bible is saying. For example, I am a congregation member sitting in this congregation. I'm sitting in this meeting. And Sister K is the, let's say she's the leader. And she asked me, Brother Rahul, can you pray? Okay, for example, Brother Rahul, can you pray? As the Holy Spirit leads you, or she give me some points. Can you pray? And then before I pray, listen to me. Before I start to pray, there is an intent or a motive in my heart. I want to pray that I want to like I want to make everyone show that I am a great prayer warrior here. That is how I want to pray. I want to pray to show everyone that I am a great prayer warrior, to show that I am dynamic, I am filled with the Spirit. So I am offering prayer unto God, but there is a filthiness in the motive of my heart before I start to pray. Now, when you read Matthew's chapter number 6, don't go there. When you read Matthew's chapter number 6, Jesus talks about that. Jesus says, these Pharisees, they give. That is a holy sacrifice. That is holy unto. When you give unto the Lord, that offering is sanctified. It's an offering of the holy things. But they give to show 10 people. But when you give, do not be like the Pharisees. Let your right hand don't even know what the left hand don't even know what the right hand is giving. When they fast, they put mourning faces, they put dull faces, and they come out. But when you because they fast with evil motives. What is the evil motive? The evil motive is they want to be seen by people. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the cleansing from the unholy things we need? The believers don't realize this. Most of the believers only know that the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus cleanses from the unholy things, the sins. But there is a cleansing of the holy things that a praying priest requires. That is the deep cleansing. Ah, are we understanding?
Yes.
And when you walk with the Holy Spirit, when you walk with the Holy Spirit will tell you, that prayer you did it to please people. You did not please me. That is the cleansing of the holy thing. Are we understanding? That testimony you gave so loudly and people were clapping for you, you did it for your glory. You did not do it for my glory. I was not even there in the testimony. It was an offering of the holy things, and the church knows, oh, what a testimony. But Holy Spirit tells you, I was not even there. I did not even want, there was no testimony. You created one and gave it to people because you wanted to make people happy or show yourself a super spiritual man. Cleansing from the holy things. Are we understanding that? It says, Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. So that is what I told you. Sanctification of the holy things by the blood is the cleansing of the evil intense motives of man's heart while performing holy activities, while giving gifts to the Lord. Okay. Leviticus chapter number 10, verse number 1. Leviticus chapter number 10, verse number 1. Labroko sabrantaya rasekheteri anda. In the name of Jesus. Leviticus chapter number 10, verse number 1. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. That is again a filthiness in the holy thing, in the holy activities. That is how filthiness can enter your spirit. So Apostle Paul, what he is talking about is, when you read the context of what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, that cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, it says, therefore cleanse yourself. So when there is a therefore, you read the verses before it. And the verses that are before that, cleanse yourself, are the verses that talks about unequally yoking yourself together with unbelievers, walking with unbelievers, sitting with unbelievers, taking part in that idolatry activities. And then you also come in the church and worship God as if you did not do anything. And then it says, therefore, when you do such things, you need cleansing. What cleansing do you need? You need cleansing from the filthiness, not only of the flesh, but also of the spirit. Also of the spirit while performing holy things. So there are so many filthiness that is there in the spirit. Because when we do spirit activities, There are evil motives behind the spirit activities. There are evil motives behind the spirit activities. Like Nadab and Abihu, when they were offering fire unto the Lord, they offered a fire which the Lord did not commanded them. Now, when Moses was there leading the people of Israel, there was a lot of rifts and conflict. Those, if you study your Bible carefully, those rifts and conflicts arose because so many people in the congregation, like one of them were Korah and his group, they thought what Moses is doing, what Moses is doing, what is so different in that? Even we can do that. Even we want to do that. So when they started to do something, the work of the priest, when the Lord did not even choose them, so they are performing holy activities with out of jealousy. That is filthiness of the spirit. When you are performing things of the spirit, but you are doing that with evil motives, there is filthiness that has entered your spirit and you need cleansing. Are we understanding that? You are doing something. Oh, I am preaching to show that my teaching and preaching is better than others. My spiritual work, my spirit has entered my spirit. I am doing it out of jealousy. I am doing it out of competition. And that is why we need to test even while we do spiritual activities. Even after every teaching, I need to test my heart. Whether I have taught, okay, I have taught the word of God and you are blessed. But Lord, are you pleased? Was there a filthiness? Was there an evil motive behind what I did for you? We need, hallelujah. Everyone say, I need cleansing of my spirit. I need cleansing. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness, not only of the flesh, but also of the spirit. Many believers don't do that. They think, oh, because I prayed for 10 hours, I did nothing wrong. I did not sin. There is a filthiness if the motive was wrong. If the motive was wrong. Okay, let me show you some verses. First of all, let me show you that the true word of God, what it does is it reveals, it exposes the thoughts and intents of man's heart. It cleanses a man of the spirit of a man. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 12. For the blood of Christ to work in a person, to cleanse him of his spirit and of the holy things, the way for the blood to work has to be paved by the word first. And that is found in Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. A man who is truly anointed by God, when he will speak, he's not talking about you, but the Spirit of God, the word, the power of the word will manifest. And what it will do is, it will pierce someone's heart and bring out the motive and do a deep cleansing of the spirit. That is what it's saying. It is saying it is going through the division of the soul and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, because to bring out the motive of the heart, to bring out the intent and the motive behind what we are doing. That is the deep cleansing that we require from the blood. Why I am, now you will say, Brother Raul, you are talking about a weapon that can defeat the devil. How can cleansing become a weapon? Yes, it can. It is a weapon because, let me show you. Job chapter number 1. Quickly turn with me to Job. Job chapter number 1. Now, I told you there was a hedge of protection around Job because Job was a praying priest. Job erected altars unto the Lord. And that's why there was a hedge of protection. There was another thing because of which Satan could not do anything. He was doing assumption work about Job. It was in Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless. Everyone say blameless.
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 What is the meaning of blameless? Now, I'm not giving you dictionary meanings. I'm giving you the meanings that I received from the Spirit of God. The definition or the meaning of blameless is a man against whom Satan has no records. That is the meaning of blameless. Okay? The meaning of blameless is what? Is a person against whom Satan has no records. Now, you understand now why the blood is a weapon when it cleanses you? Because it cleanses not you not only of the flesh, but also of the spirit. So that Satan will have no record whatsoever against you. That you will be a completely clean man before God. And Satan will have nothing to accuse you of. That is the... These are the days of consecration. These are the days of sanctification. These are the days of the holy saints of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Holiness is not only, oh, this guy, Apostle Raul, is praying so much, is always on time. But you don't know what are the motives of my heart. If the motives are not right, I need cleansing. I am not blameless. So when a person, Jesus said, the ruler of the world is coming, but I have nothing to do with him. That means there is no attachment whatsoever between me and him. There is no dealings whatsoever. He is a separate entity altogether. And I am in no way or in no aspect attached to him. Or he has no records against me. He has no records against me. That is why we need cleansing, not only of the flesh, but also of the spirit. That is why we need cleansing, not only of the unholy things, that is the sins of the flesh, but also of the holy things that are the filthiness and the evil while performing spiritual activities. While performing, hallelujah, while performing spiritual activities. Even when you sit in the presence of God and the only, from 20 years, you are going to the church, you are going to pray in the church, and from 20 years, you had been just going because you need a breakthrough, you need this, you need that, you need cleansing from the filthiness of your spirit. Your spirit has become so filthy that you have become a parasite who just knows to receive from God. You were never taught to give unto the Lord. You were never taught to give unto the Lord your service, your body, your finances, your energy, your time. You were never taught to pray a prayer like, Lord, I don't want anything from you tonight. I don't want to receive. I just want to give my life to you on your altar. Do whatever you want with me. You were not taught to pray like that. And you were only going to the Lord to receive. Hallelujah. My God, I was invited to a meeting to preach and to share my testimony. I was so reluctant. I did not want to go on that meeting. But that man was behind me, calling me, brother, please come, brother, please come. We want to. Reluctantly, I said, he's insisting so much. He's pissing me off. So I went. I went on the meeting. Like, the meeting was not like what we do. We start the meeting by praising God. We don't, by the way, you have never seen us starting the meeting by starting off a bag full of prayer requests. As soon as we start the meeting at 9, Father, there are so many issues. There are the this person wants this, that person wants this, this person wants this. I pray that he gets that, she gets that, he gets baby, he gets money, he gets car, he gets a bungalow. We don't, we never. If anyone starts the meeting like that, I will not allow, first of all, to anyone to start the meeting like that. That meeting started off like that. The meeting did not, no praise and worship, no worship to God. There were 5-6 ladies, and the pastor was, they were crying, "Oh, pastor, you help me. I got that, but now I want this." And the pastor was saying, "Cry more, cry more, cry more. God will hear you when you cry." I said, "Where is prayer? Where is worship?" Half an hour it went, and I thought, let me leave this place, but I could not leave because they saw me there. So I could not leave that place. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The most important thing, and the first and the foremost thing when we come to the presence of God, is not to bombard God with prayer requests. My leg is paining, my daughter's head is paining, and my son's neck is paining. Hallelujah. I don't know, Pushpa is laughing on my joke or something else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I am telling you, people of God, when you come to God like that, and I am telling you, even I have taught some people to stop that nonsense. Some people come to the meeting, here in the meeting, and as soon as they come, they message me, "Brother Rahul, pray. This is the problem. This is..." As soon as they come, 9 a.m., 9 p.m. Sometimes, if they come on time, they don't come on time. If they come on time, they will message me on the Zoom. "Pray, pray, 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 pray." I don't even respond to them. I am telling you, not because I am rude, but because I am concentrating on the Lord, not on their prayer request. I have come in the presence. I have to worship the King of Kings. My hand pain, my leg pain does not even matter. Leave it aside. Are we understanding that? I don't allow such kind of things in the meeting. And some people might think, "Oh, this guy is rude." No, I'm not rude. I'm doing what the word says. Are we understanding that? When you, and I had been telling people, don't do that. When you come on the meeting, shut your mind, shut your request, and just worship the Lord. If you want to message, say, "Praise the Lord." Say, "I am worshiping the Lord." Say, "Amen." Say, "Hallelujah." We have a time for prayer requests. We will pray. And we have a prayer meeting dedicated for prayer requests and all those stuff. But we have to come to the Lord, surrendering our life first. But if we come to the Lord, always, "I want this, I want that." That is filthiness of the spirit. We may look like we are sounding spiritual because, oh, we are asking prayer requests, but it's filthiness of the spirit. It's a filthiness in the holy sacrifices. And that needs cleansing. And the blood of Christ, the Bible says, cleanses from the holy things. It cleanses from the holy things. Are we together? So I said the word of God is a discerner. It brings out the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, I think we know that, but let me remind you of that. God does not look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So he will not look at, even if you fasted 40 days, but he will not look at the length of your fast. He will look at your heart. I'm telling you, that is how God is. It's not that I'm not telling that people. Some people came to me, "I will fast for 40 days. Why? Because I want a job." I said, "You have not heard God. 40 days fast is required when you are in high rankings." I'm telling you, you want to go on a 40-day liquid fast and you have not, what nonsense you have created, because you think, "If I fast for 40 days, God will be forced to do this thing for me." It does not happen like that, people of God. It does not happen like that. I never went for a 40-day fast until now. I'm talking about complete liquid fast. The longest fast the Lord led me to go on is a 21-day fast. 40-day fast, liquid fast, is not done for a job or for marriage. It's not required. 40 days liquid fast is done when you want to dethrone principality. Even 21 days fast is done when you want to dethrone, when your fight is against principality or against ancestral stronghold. I don't have time. When you want those kind of things, 2 days or a 3 days fast maximum is allowed. You go on it. Because God will not look at the length of your fast. God will look at your heart. I'm telling you that. People don't realize that. Oh, Brother Rahul, those people are fasting for 40 days. Oh, you know what? Those people are fasting doing Lent for 40 days. What are you doing? I said, I am not impressed. And I don't even want to get pressurized because you are pressurizing me. Others are fasting, you also. No. I am only led by the Holy Spirit whenever I fast. Because it is supposed, God looks at the heart. I'm telling you, the spiritual activities that we are doing, if there is evil motive, even the motive is, I want to get a job, so I want to do a big fast because I want to force you to hear me. It looks spiritual, it looks holy, but there is filthiness in your spirit. It needs cleansing. Evil motives behind performing spiritual things. People of God don't realize that. They think, if I am performing something spiritual, something for God, oh, it is pleasing. No. If test the motive. Have you tested the motive? Because God does not look at outward things, activities, appearance, length of days. He looks at the heart. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 7. Verse number 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see, a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at your motives. He looks at your intention. Even if you went on a fast for 2 days, but the intent of your heart was to glorify God and to do his will and not of yourself, that 2 days fast will be more powerful than a 40-day fast. I'm telling you that. It's don't think that the longer you fast, the longer God, the more effective it will be. No. The length does not matter. The motive matters. The intent matters. That is what God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Are we understanding that? All right. More scriptures. Matthew chapter number 9. Verse number 4. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Jesus knows your heart. Even if you're standing there saying, Jesus, I love you. But he does not look at your word. He looks at the heart. Thoughts in your heart. Jesus, I will die for you. Ignore the word. Jesus says, I know what is in your heart. Mm-hmm. Amen. Are we understanding? You know what? In the light of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, hypocrisy cannot stand. Hypocrisy is you say some things, but there is something else in your heart. It cannot withstand. Hypocrisy will be exposed. Even Jesus will tell Pharisees straight away, you hypocrites, you know to praise God with your lips, but your hearts are far away. That is a verse in John where Jesus says that. You praise God with your lips, but your hearts are far, far away from the Lord. So,
amen.
Christianity is the matter of heart. Christianity is a matter of the intents and the motives. Are we understanding? Someone said, the Muslims are fasting this and that. I said, it does not matter how much ever they fast. They are still because they are fasting because of a tradition. We don't fast because of that. We fast to please our God. The way of Christianity is different. But many preachers and teachers are paganizing Christianity by introducing things that do a 21-day fast, then this will happen. Do a 40-day fast. That is nonsense, that kind of a teaching. It's the paganization of Christianity. Like that happens in heathen religion. When you do this amount, when you do that amount of fasting, when you go to that pilgrimage spot, And shave off your head there on that pilgrimage spot, you will get your baby. Those kinds of things are happening in Christianity. It's nonsense. It's paganization of Christianity that is happening. But always remember, the simple thing is God looks at your heart. the motive, the intent, because Jesus knows what is in your heart. You know what? God has taught me about this. I was once on a long fast, 21-day fast. So on the 10th, I was on a liquid fast, so I was only drinking water and tea. So on the 13th or the 14th day, I said, for the betterment of my digestive system, I asked the Lord. I was praying, I was in the spirit, I asked the Lord, Lord, if you give me permission, can I go and drink a liquid soup? The Lord said, go, I am with you. You are my child. And I was rejoicingly, I went. So I went to a nearby restaurant. I said, give me this. I want a liquid soup. I told them, liquid. And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bring me a liquid soup. I gave them instruction. But when they brought the soup, there were small, small garlic granules. I said, I wanted a liquid soup. They said, no, it's like this only. It's liquid, but there will be some. I said, now what to do? The order has come. I said, okay. So I removed the granules and I started drinking the liquid. While drinking the liquid, I think some small granules went through my throat. And then I was terrified. I paid the bill. I went back to my hotel room. I said, Lord, I broke my fast. I broke my fast and I started to terrify. And that whole day I was saying, but by afternoon, I heard a voice. Rahul, I know your heart. You did not break your fast. I heard that voice, but I ignored that voice because I was trusting on my own works. And I became so dry on that day. I became so dry because, how could that happen? No, this. And all those things. So I was so dry. Then that night I went to sleep. The next morning again, I started to do that. Lord, what to do? And then the Holy Spirit more strongly spoke to me, the Lord more strongly. And he said, Rahul, what did I say yesterday? And then I remembered, you told me that I did not break my fast. You have accepted me. There is no problem in that. You know my heart. Then said, even after I saying you that, why did you continue to moan and weep? You are self-righteous. He told me, you are self-righteous. Then I opened my diary. I said, Lord, I am sorry. And the Lord gave me a lecture, a teaching on self-righteousness. I wrote it down. Self-righteousness. This is God. I'm telling you. Once I decided, okay, I will go on a 7-day fast. On the 3rd day, he took me to the Bible and he said, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. Peter, rise up, kill and eat. Peter, rise up, kill and eat. 3 times he said. And I was reading that scripture. And the Lord was telling me, you rise up, kill and eat. I said, is a demon speaking to me? I want to do it for 7 days. No. He started to teach me that it's not about the length of the fast. It's about my relationship with him. It's not that I cannot fast. I have the, but he does not want to depend us to depend. Is it? He does not want our works to be glorified. He wants his grace upon us to be glorified. That is God. I'm teaching you something here. I have learned this in the secret place when I spend time with God. That is how God works. Looks at the heart, beloved. Looks at the heart. So I am not impressed with this Christians who come to me, tell me, that pastor is saying, let's all go 21 days. I said, if the Lord did not tell me, I will not fast. I will not show it. Let people think that I am a not non-fasting person. Let them think, but I will not do those fastings now. Are we understanding? Okay. The Lord looks, Jesus knows your heart and he does not, he will. The Lord taught me about self-righteousness and then I will come to that. That is the second weapon, actually, the word of our testimony. Some of the, you know, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. What I said just now about what the Lord taught me was a word encounter. And that is the word of our testimony. We'll come to that afterwards. So, are we understanding that? I am still on the topic sanctification of the holy things. We need sanctification. I needed sanctification. I was fasting, but I still needed sanctification of the spirit. because there was, see, self-righteousness rooted in me. So the Lord broke that day and removed self-righteousness from me. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So that is deep cleansing, beloved, deep cleansing. You more and more you humble yourself before God, humble yourself before God, open yourself to God, the blood of Christ will cleanse your spirit. The flesh is cleansed. I was not doing any sinful things, but the spirit wanted cleansing. So he will cleanse the spirit. And most believers don't know about it. The blood of Christ makes you blameless, that the devil will have no records. Hallelujah. Okay, another more verses on the scripture that God looks at your heart. He knows what is in your heart. John chapter number 2. Hallelujah. John chapter number 2 and verse number 23, 24 and 25. John 2, 23, 24, 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew their hearts, in other words. He knew their thoughts. So everyone was, oh, Jesus, the prophet, we believe in you. We believe in you. We believe in you. They were shouting because of the works, because of the miracles. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in their hearts. He knew what... One lady came up to me and she told me, I want to host you here, there. I want to take you, make you meet people who are rich in Mumbai, rich and who are builders, and they will fund you and this and that. And the Lord told me, don't listen to the lady. Don't go with her. Because the lady has one leg in me and one leg in idols. Don't. The Lord knows it. I could have been drawn. Oh, my destiny helper has arose. My time has come. But Lord said, no. My time has come. My funds have come. My this have come. No. There is a long time. Sometimes I think my time has just come. But again, the Lord calms me down and says, there is more time. Hallelujah. So the Lord knows what is in their hearts. And if you walk with the Lord will stop you from getting into relationships and covenants with people who are not his, who don't really love him, but who are just showing off. Like these people were showing off, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They wanted to make Jesus the king. But the Lord knew what was in their heart, and he did not give himself to them. So a true servant of God will not give. So that is what. And then the next thing I want to tell you is, God will reward you as per the motives of your heart. God will reward you as per the motives of your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you... Okay. 1 Corinthians. Okay, let's go to another verse. Sorry. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 10. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of their doing. So the Lord searches the heart and the mind, and he rewards people as per the same. Hallelujah. James chapter number 4, verse 3. James chapter number 4, verse number 3. It says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So even asking, even praying, because we ask as per our own will, we do not receive. The motives are wrong. So we are not rewarded when we ask from the Lord. Are we together? So, okay. Then 1 Corinthians, the last verse. I'm not going in detail, but I want to go on the next weapon. That's why 1 Corinthians. Let me see if that is the word. Chapter number 3. Yes, chapter number 3, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Hallelujah. The works will be will stand the test of fire when the motives and intent behind those works, that is spiritual activities, were sanctified, were not evil, not were not wicked or selfish. Okay, so here we come to the end of the this aspect of the blood. First, I said the protection from the devil, from the death. The second is sanctification and purification of the holy and the unholy things. So in a way, it makes you blameless. So Satan cannot bring accusation against you. He cannot defeat you when you are sanctified and purified by the blood. That is how the blood becomes a weapon for you. And the third thing is negating legal ownership by establishing a new purchase contract for our lives. Negating legal ownership when by establishing a new purchase contract for our life. Now let's go to some verses. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28. Hallelujah. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the church, the believers, are purchased by the blood of Jesus. Why were we were supposed to be purchased? Because we were sold to the devil. Now, the legal ownership rights of the devil to own your life has been broken, has been completely broken because of the blood of Christ. The devil can manipulate you, but he cannot make you do things. Remember that. He cannot make you do things. That's why some of you were there in case meeting yesterday. It was so spirit-filled, and you might have heard my sister's testimony. And my sister had a very hard time coming out of the previous job because that job had the spirit of the Pharaoh and the witchcraft of Egypt. And oh God, now this job, she was there 4.5 years in that job, but never got an increment. So it was like you work and work and work, but there is no policy of something that we will increase your salary. We have to continue to work. Then they will make them do overtime, but they will not pay. They will not pay for the overtime. And you know what I told? I told Pharaoh in that workplace does not owns you. Whatever they tell you say no, because God has told me they will never be able to fire you from that job. You will go in your dignity. They will never be, because they anything you say to them, they will fire you off, because they say like Elon Musk, that actually, what Elon Musk did in his company was he reduced the strength, the employees of his company by 80% or something. Cut the cost completely. If there were, for example, 10,000 people working, he fired 9,000 people and kept 1,000 people only. And those work of the what the 10,000 people were doing, he said only 1,000 people can do. So the owner of this, my sister's company, wanted to be a celebrity businessman and was a follower of Elon Musk. What Elon Musk was doing, he was also doing. And I don't know any which ways, that's a satanic agenda. That's why Satan is giving him wealth so that he becomes a business icon. And many of the businessmen follow him. So there was such a fear, because anything you do, they will fire, because they don't care. They don't care. They are like, they don't care about your skills. They don't care about what you have, because it's a Egypt. Listen to me. So I told her, whenever they call you and tell you, sometimes they will call and they say, oh, you have to sit. There is an event there in the US and you have to work. I said, tell them no. Oh, you have to come on weekend work. Tell them no. You have to extend your time. Tell them no. They cannot do you because they are not your owner. The blood of Christ has purchased you. When you know the devil is not your owner, you can say no to the devil. But some people, oh, they said this, I will lose my job. Let me do it. What about the blood of Christ which purchased you? Don't you know Jesus is your owner? Don't you know Jesus is your owner? And you behave as if they are the boss is your owner. Your unbelieving husband is your owner. Jesus is your owner. Man, Jesus is your owner, woman. So you don't have to fear. He decides. Jesus decides what to do. And I told you, Jesus told me. I told her, Jesus told me clearly, stay at your job earlier. Nothing will happen to you. Nothing. And nothing happened. She walked out in dignity because she got another job. They cannot fire you because however rude Pharaoh is, he is not your owner. You are purchased. That is the power. I wanted to explain that. That is when you know God owns you. And no other man can control your life or command you do this, do that. You have the freedom to take a decision. Now, why? Because she wants to be in the meeting. She wants to worship God. And that's why you say, that's why Egypt started to think, so Israel started to think Pharaoh is their owner. Pharaoh said that, yeah, we will do it. Pharaoh, because they thought Pharaoh is providing. They could not understood that God owns them. I want to tell you, beloved, God owns you because he has purchased you. No other man's word can control your life.
Amen.
You have to stand up and reject, say no. Are we understanding? There were people in my office, Christians, believers. One of the believers once morning, I think he had a good time with the Lord. And after having a good time with the Lord in his personal time, whatever, he started to come and teach me. I said, okay, I'm listening. Ah, this and that and that. Then once upon a time after that, there was a Hindu festival where they celebrate a goddesses for 9 days. And every day there is a different color that you have to wear in the office as per the festival. On Monday, yellow, on Tuesday, blue, or whatever. As per the colors of the goddesses, whatever. And this guy who gave me lectures and preaching, I did not say, this guy came in the office celebrating among the heathen what they are celebrating. If it was a blue, I will wear black. I will be ordinary because I want to stand and show them I am not a worshiper of your Hindu gods. I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And you cannot do anything to me. You can't do anything to me. I will do what I want. I will do what I want. You know, this new house we came in, the owner of the house, because we are on rent, and the brokers and everyone said, oh, you know, you have to give money when the people, they celebrate the altar festivals. When the people come, they ask donation. My mother said, we will not give because we don't give for religious activities. We are Christians and you can't even force me. I am paying my rent. I have the right to whatever I want to do in my house. Hallelujah. We may be having less money in the eyes of the world, but we are rich in Christ. We behave as ambassadors.
Amen.
We don't tolerate nonsense. We don't tolerate idol worship. We don't tolerate it. And no preacher will preach like this on meetings. I preach like that. Oh, if I told that, someone will catch me by my... No one can catch me because I'm talking about my God. I am teaching his word. He owns me. He owns me. I am purchased by his blood. That is the power of the blood. You are purchased. Are we understanding? Don't behave like slaves. Don't behave as mere average weak Christians. Don't behave like one. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Okay. So, you are purchased by the blood. More verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Don't try to please others. That guy who gave me a lecture and preaching, I saw him celebrating, wearing those colors along with them. I went to him, I said, you were teaching me so many things and now you are celebrating heathen festival? No, you know what? That's okay. And that's okay. The God is not displeased with this. We have to also keep the people happy here. So don't try to be teachers when you yourself cannot stand for God. Don't try to teach others. I'm telling you. God will hold your words accountable. James chapter number 4 says that. Let not every one of you be teachers. Because when you know that you cannot stand for Christ, even in a small matter, don't teach others. Leave it. First, build up your life. Are we understanding? First, have the conviction, the realization that God owns you by His blood. God owns you by His blood. And no one has a right to control your life. You cannot be controlled by other people's word or by even by the things that people say. They say, do this, do that. And God says, no, don't do that. Go and tell I will not do it. I will not do it. So anything comes in your time between you and God in your fellowship time, go and tell them you will not do it. By the way, the company where she worked, my sister worked, and where the Pharaoh company, I worked there for 5 years also. I also worked there for 5 years. And I never extended my time, never ever extended my time of work. If my shift ends at 11 in the night, 10 minutes before, I will pack up and sit because I was excited to go back home. So, and as 11, I will shift out, I will run back home. I never extended. No one can do anything. I cannot be fired by the job. God gave me that job. I will sit in that job, earn money. They cannot fire me because God has given and He owns me. He has allowed that company to give me money. Are we understanding that? Oh, hallelujah. Let me end here. So these are the three functions of the blood. The blood gives you coverage, as I said. The blood sanctifies and purifies you of holy and unholy things. Third, the blood has established a new purchase contract that you are owned by God. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Tonight, people of God, church of God, it's time to arise. And by the revelation of the blood of the Lamb, which is a mighty weapon, no matter what the devil says, what your job says, God owns you. The final word is with Him. You have the blood of the Lamb, and by the blood, they overcame Satan, the Bible says. Who overcame Satan? The Bible is talking about you, beloved. You overcame the serpent. You are the one. You are the one who overcame the serpent by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Tonight, people of God, I don't want you to behave like cats, but I want you to behave like a lioness, like a lion, because you are the daughter of the lion. You are the son of the Lion of Judah. God owns you, no matter what the company says, what people say, what your relatives say. Oh, stand and be bold, because the Lord your God. And that is what the Bible says. God said to Joshua again and again, be bold, be courageous, be bold. God wants your body language to be bold. I was not like this when I was not with Christ. Christ made me like this. I was an introvert, very shy, cannot speak. But when the Holy Spirit transformed my body language and made me so bold. Oh God, the Holy Spirit can transform your body language. And you have to be bold as a lion. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have to stand because God owns you by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. The devil can come and throw his tantrums at you and his demands at you. You say, no, devil, I'm not going. And you cannot do anything to me. You don't own me. God owns me. Tell the Pharaoh and stop listening to Pharaoh, first of all. And tell the Pharaoh, you don't own me. God owns me. Don't be a slave to anyone. Some people are slave to please people. They want to please that person, this person, that relative, that husband, that daughter, that son. Don't be a slave to please people. Please God and stand for his word. Stand for, that is how you will defeat the enemy. Otherwise, you will be a cat. Oh, rebebosh karabal diantra ban sakataraba. Laha zebre bantia, which any other animal can attack, but when you rise up like a lion, no animal in the jungle dares to come against a lion. Robo shavran zakata ravaze keterebe rebonze bentiam brabanta karabote barabosia. Let your people arise, Lord. Oh Lord, I pray for them with low self-esteem, Lord, who have gone through traumas, Lord, and who have, Lord, who have been suppressed by people or oppressed by people's word, and by fear the devil controls them. I break today, it is breaking tonight, it is breaking upon their lives, because by the revelation of the blood of Jesus that has owned them, Lord, no one can control their life, oppress them like Pharaoh, because you own them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Your word is the only authority, I decree and declare, that can control your life. Your will is the only authority that can manifest in their life. The only word that can lead them, Lord. Not any word of any other person or any other man. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, even as we embark upon the next revelations about the word of our testimony, and about the third one, Lord, that they did not love their lives even to death. I ask you that you will speak to your people and equip them, Lord. Oh, Lord, even in the coming weekend, Lord, even as we gather together, and the coming week, Lord, you lead and guide your people, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Empower them, Lord, to be what they are in Christ, and to walk in your word and walk in the Spirit and walk in authority, Lord, and not to be slave to anything or anyone or to the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind the spirit of fear. I decree and declare you have not given them the spirit of fear and timidity, but the spirit of power, love, and sound mind in the name of Jesus. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's shout amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.